morning, guys. Thank you for coming. So this week, have either of you been like gabbai before at a team union? Yeah.
I'm gabbai for SAR.
Oh, you're gabbai at SAR. Okay. So what does that entail? Do you give out alios or?
Yeah, I give
out. Okay. Do you give out hagba also?
Yes.
Okay. So when did you start being gabbai?
This like the third day.
Like the third day this year.
Yeah.
Okay. So, before and after Simchas Torah, when you were giving out glila, did you choose one person over another? Was there a reason why you would pick one person over another?
Yes, I would choose more Israeli kids because like the war and stuff like that.
Ah, okay. So that's really really nice. I'm glad. Glad like that's part of the mindset. So even when Bezus Hashem, when the situation improves, there's also sometimes a difference that Gabbaim have in their mind when they pick people to get Glila before and after Simchas Torah. It's if they're a righty or a lefty. Because before Simchas Torah, most of the Torah is on the right hand side. As opposed to when you start with Bereishis, it all moves to the left. So there's a story about a shul where they auctioned off kibudim. They auctioned off aliyos and hagba, glila, etc. on Shabbos Bereishis. So one guy bids like $2,000 to do hagba on Shabbos Bereishis. He gets up to the Torah and he realizes that everything's on the left side and he's a righty. So he asks the gabbai if he can share with somebody else, meaning he'll take one side and somebody else will take the other side. And the gabbai says, no, we're not doing that. That's a disaster waiting to happen. If anybody asks you to do that, say no. It's a bad idea. So instead, the gabbai just picks somebody else.
Why can't you do it?
I'm not saying you can't. I just think it's a bad idea because when you have two people, unless they're super coordinated, something's going to happen. There's nothing forbidden about it. It's just a bad idea. So the gabbai just picks somebody else. Then after that second guy does glila, the gabbai comes over to the first guy and says, "Okay, pay up." He says, "What do you mean?" Said, "Well, you pledged $2,000." He said, "Yeah, I pledged to do glila. I didn't do glila." So then the gabbai goes to the second guy, and he tells the second guy, "Okay, pay me $2,000." And he says, "Why? I didn't bid $2,000 for this. I wouldn't be willing to pay more than $100. So now the gabbai's in a tight spot. He would fundraise $2,000 for the shul. One guy doesn't want to pay that at all, and the other guy doesn't want to pay more than $100. So what do you think? Who has to pay what? If anything.
Half.
So I mean, they split it. They split the difference. Okay. So you could say you split the difference. So there's a story by the Chassam Sofer where in some communities the custom is to only have one person say Kaddish because otherwise everybody's going to get out of it.
Broyers is the same thing.
I'm sorry.
Broyers is the same thing.
Yeah. So Broyers is one of them. The Chassam Sofer comes from a German community, so that custom was in Broyers. That custom was in Germany a lot. So they had people who, by each minyan, it was their turn to say Kaddish. At one time, somebody else jumped the gun and said Kaddish before the guy that was supposed to. So the Chassam Sofer writes that the first guy still gets the credit for saying Kaddish, even if he didn't say it, because there's a halacha that if somebody steals an animal that you're going to bring as a karban and brings it as a karban, the first guy still gets the credit. So the Chassam Sofer says the same thing is still true here. So do you think we could compare that to our case where somebody else does glila, but the first guy still gets the credit and therefore he should have to pay? Do you agree or disagree?
Say it again.
So we know that if somebody chaps or grabs your mitzvah, the first guy still gets credit. So do we say that that's the same thing here, that you were supposed to do glila, somebody else kind of stepped in, does the first guy get the credit and should he have to pay for getting that credit?
Can you say much of the commission?
So that's one idea. The Gemara says that if you want to do a mitzvah and you try to do the mitzvah and for whatever reason it doesn't work out, you still get credit for it. So the first guy wanted to do glila, he realized that it's just not going to work. So he should be getting the credit for Glila. So if that's true, should he pay or not? So let's assume he does get the credit for doing Glila. Do you think that he should pay?
Yes.
Yes, why?
Because that's what you're paying for.
So you say you're paying to get the credit for Glila. Anybody disagree?
If he wants the credit, he has to pay.
Okay, so you're saying basically that I'm pledging this money so I can get the credit for the mitzvah. Some people say yes. That's what some people wanted to say when they told this to Rav Zilberstein, that look, this guy gets the credit for the mitzvah, so he should be paying for it. Rav Zilberstein said in the name of his father-in-law, Rav Elyashiv, that people don't pay to get the credit. People pay to do the actual mitzvah. It's just the mindset. Now again, you may disagree, and I think it kind of depends on the specific case. But in Rav Elyashiv's circle, people don't pay to get credit for the mitzvah, they pay to participate in the activity. So therefore, the first guy, he shouldn't have to pay. If the gabbai asked him, you know, why don't you pick somebody else? And he would have agreed to be the guy that picked who gets the kavod, okay, then we could talk about it. But if the gabbai just unilaterally chose somebody else, so this guy didn't do anything, so he gets the credit. But that's not what he signed up to pay for.
Maybe both should get credit?
I assume the guy that actually does it gets the credit too. So now we have two other people, though. We have the guy that actually did Glila and the gabbai. So do either of them, you know, should the second guy pay? So Rav Zilberstein said that the second guy only has to pay what he would be willing to do Glila for. Nobody asked him to pay, and so since he said, look, I would be willing to pay $100, so he should give $100. So now they're $1,900 short from what the gabbai was fundraising. So Rav Zilberstein said, the gabbai, if he wants to do what's right, he didn't say he would be obligated to. He said if he wants to do what's right, he should make up the difference. That the gabbai has to pay $1,900 because he messed up. He should have been, you know, he should have said, you know, do you want to pick somebody? He then should have told the second guy, hey, are you willing to pay the $2,000? He should have, since he's in charge, he should have negotiated all these terms. And because he didn't, and somebody pledged money and he caused the shul a loss, he has to make up the difference. So again, I think each case is different because, as you said, it depends on what you're paying for. If you're paying for the credit, so then maybe the first guy should pay. So it really depends on the shul and the dynamics of the people. The reason why I'm saying this is A, to reinforce that if you want to do a mitzvah and you try to do the mitzvah, you still get credit for it, even if it doesn't end up working out. We learned that from this past week's parsha from Avraham in the Akedah, that he got credit, so to speak. It was like Yitzchak was brought as a sacrifice, even though he didn't. The second thing is that if you are gabbai, if you have responsibilities in a shul, in a minyan, whether it's at school or in a beis medrash or in a shul, you have to take them seriously. I'm not saying you're going to be up, on the hook for $2,000 each week, but you have to take those both bein adam l'makom and bein adam l'chaveiro responsibilities seriously. All right. Have a great week, guys. And there's more donuts.